Thank you, Pastor Calhoun. What a privilege and honor it is for me to stand before this people today and proclaim the word of the Lord. LifeSpring Church will forever be in our minds and in our hearts. As we move on to the next chapter of our lives, we found what we considered for our age to be the perfect house. And God gave it to us. He opened every door. We made an offer on a house about 2 weeks before, and it was turned down because they didn't want a VA loan. These people were happy to be give a VA loan, and the house was $20,000 cheaper and 100% better. And God took care of the whole thing. We prayed about the house and asked God, said, now we got a little puppy. He's already gone on yesterday. He's in Fort Wayne already waiting for us to get to Huntington, Indiana. And we asked God, could we at least have a backyard that the dog could run around? And this house has a complete 4-foot white vinyl privacy fence around the whole backyard. And then when we looked in the last picture, we even saw a doggy door. God took care of everything. Thank God. I'd like to speak to you this morning about a subject that there was a day. And this comes about with a lot of scripture coming together, and you'll find that I'm kind of a person of numbers, just a little bit. We'll go back to 1959. I don't know the day or the hour, but it was my first job in a factory. I was at 124th in Burleigh at Briggs & Stratton Corporation. I got a job there, and I was to run 2 metal pots, one with zinc and the other with number 7 special aluminum. My supervisor's name was Frank, and my clock number was 179.50. That's 1959. Then January the 3rd, of 1960, you can be seated. January 3rd of 1960 was another day to remember. That was the day that I knelt down in the back prayer room of an old country church, right near the floor register, near the door that went down to a basement that held about 12 inches of spring water. And with Harold Cyrus on one side and his wife Germaine on the other, this 18-year-old boy received the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. That is a day that I'll never remember. I'll always remember. Well, this came about... This message came to me on June the 28th of this year. Why June 28th? Well, it's kind of like this. I finished reading the Bible through on May the 24th, and then I went to read the book of Isaiah. And when I got through with the book of Isaiah, probably during most of the month of last few days of May and the last most of the month of June. On June 28th, I needed another book to start, and I'm thinking, I'm going to read the book of Job. And when I read the Job in the first chapter, verse number 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came together to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them also. Job was a perfect and upright man. The Bible said that he feared God and eschewed evil. He had the unique ability to love the things that God loves and to hate the things that God hates. Oh, if we could have that in our generation today. There was a day in the life of Job that he was very blessed. The Bible said that he was blessed above all of the families of the East. He had a great family. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And we read of his substance, much cattle, sheep, oxen, asses, and camels. A very, very great household. This man was among the greatest of the East. Job rose up every morning and began to pray for his children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. He didn't pray because they were living in sin. He prayed because they might have sinned. And oh, if we could nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud like Job did and say, I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for my children, whether they're living for God or not living for God. I'm going to pray for them that one day things will seem to come on in their life like a light bulb lit up and says, oh, yes, now I remember the day. I remember the day when people used to pray and seek the face of God. There are certain days that we all remember. And I can go back to 1963, standing in the courthouse downtown Waukesha with my back up against the wall, being inducted into the United States Army. And the officer said, anyone that wants to back out now, take one step backward. There was a wall. There was no backing out. There was no place to go. That was February the 6th, 1963. Waukesha, Wisconsin, wind chill factor 36 below zero. Very, very cold day. It wasn't but a 2 weeks later, I was in the San Antonio in this short sleeve shirt, walking around the barracks drinking a pop. Oh, these days that we remember. Oh, the days that we remember. And then in 1963, it happened. One night, we were supposed to be cleaning up the day room. Of course, we were in there playing ping pong and shooting pool and everything else. And here comes the first lieutenant that I was the driver for. He walks into the room crying like a baby. November the 22nd. 1963. What happened that day in Dallas, Texas? Our president was shot. Most of you weren't alive back then, but there are days that we remember. And then we go from there. I got out of the service on January the 28th, 1965. And it was a beautiful day. That was the day that God really started working on my heart again, getting rid of some of the baggage that I was carrying and putting this stuff off and saying, God, I'm going to serve you no matter what. So then the following month in February, the 20th, 1965, I drove to St. Paul, Minnesota. There's a Bible college up there. It was at 745 Grand Avenue at the time. And I went in to visit my brother that was already in Bible college. And on January the 20th, there was a day that I met a young lady. Her name was Sandra Gastineau, and she was up next to the organ, and she was singing. She was singing a song that said, "Take everything but my Lord." She was dressed in a pink dress, wearing a white hat and white gloves, and I started asking my brother, "What is the name of my wife that is here? I'm going to marry that woman." Well, she come up to visit along with my sister-in-law. And this was June 25th of 1965. We met in the backyard of my father's rental property on 319 Barney Street, Waukesha, Wisconsin, just a little ways from the post office. You know where that Quonset building is that used to be Kohl's grocery store? Okay, right down the street from there in the backyard. It's getting very tense in the garden. We're standing there talking to each other, and such a bashful boy, I said, you know, if things keep going the way they are, I'm going to have to ask you to marry me. And she said, "When?" I said, "Now." So we were engaged on the 25th of June of 1965, and then came October 1st, 1965. We were married. We were married for 55 years, actually 32 days short, when I lost her to muscular dystrophy. But God has been so good to us. He just reminds us of all these days. How many remember what happened on July the 16th of 1969 involving Edwin Collins and Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong? Man walked on the moon for the very first time. There was a day that moon was to be walked on, and that was the day. But back to the Job in his situation. The Bible said that he rose up early every morning and made burnt offerings according to the number of his children. 10 burnt offerings each day. And again, not because they sinned, but he said just so they might have sinned. He said, it may be that they've cursed God in their hearts. And when's the last time we prayed for our children before anything went wrong? Sometimes we just wait until the tragedy happens. And then we pray and we seek God, and then we find out that these kind come out only by prayer and fasting. But there was a day in the life of Job that there was a hedge built around him. And Satan understood that from the beginning he could do nothing without going through the hands of God first. And you can remind Satan every day that you live that if there's anything that's going to happen in your life, it can't happen until it goes through the hands of God. God has to be approve of what happened. And he said to Satan, okay, here he is, but just you can't take his life. I'm not going to allow that. But there was a day in the life of Job that the hedge was removed. And old Satan comes along and he said, you know, God, that man, if you take that hedge away, he's going to curse you to your face. The Bible said that Job never charged God foolish. He always believed that, you know, God was putting him through this for a reason. And then there was a day that he got the message that all of your children were at the elder son's house, and there came a powerful storm or whatever, and the house collapsed, and they're all dead. And here I am, just me. I come to tell you. And before he got done speaking, another one said that there was a day after all his children died that the Sabians came in and they took all of his cattle. And while he was yet speaking, there said fire came down and fell upon the sheep. And there was a day when the Chaldeans came in and they took all of his camels. There will be good times and there's going to be bad times. But in the good times or the bad times, I cannot complain because God is good all the time. No matter if it's a good time or a bad time, he's always good to us. Job 1 and 20, then Job rose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down and worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I had never gone through anything like Job did. But after I took a retirement from General Motors, I needed something to do, and I went to work for a Saturn dealership when they first opened. And wasn't too long, and I'd become their parts manager. And I worked for them for 7 years, and things got pretty rough in the economy at that time. And if you remember, there was a time when Saturn Corporation was owned by General Motors, but it wasn't really a part of the General Motors constituency. But things got pretty rough, and they decided that the only way we're going to get out of this thing is to go back to the old style management. It's my way or the highway. And they called us in, and like I say, the economy was bad. My department that last month was $2,000 in the plus. And I happened to be the only department that was in the plus. The service department lost money. Sales department lost money. So they came in and they're going to clean house. And they got a store general manager that they hired from another dealership that knew nothing about Saturn. So he said, I'm going to come in and clean house. And he got rid of every one of us. All of the managers left. And I got to walk out of the place that day and realize that God gave me that job when he gave it to me. And I walked out, packed all my stuff in a box, and walked out to the car. And I said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My wife didn't quite feel the same way at the time. But there was a day way back before Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, there was a day when there was no sin in the world. Oh, would that have been a lovely day? When the woman that saw the food, that it was good, it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also to her husband, and sin entered into the world. Oh, there was a day that there was no sin. But then Satan lied to the human race. We could have used, how many ever heard of Paul Harvey? Paul Harvey was a news commentator years ago. He was like the, you probably haven't even heard of Walter Cronkite. But he was way back then. Paul Harvey used to have a program that he called The Rest of the Story. And sometimes we need to hear the rest of the story, because the first part is, could be very depressing. But here came Paul Harvey and said, I want to tell you the rest of the story. He had some wrong thinking in his mind, because Paul Harvey one day said he believed that one day that there was going to be a catching away of the church. And he said, I want to be here to record that day. If you're here to record that day, you're eternally lost. Satan never tells us the rest of the story. He never tells us the problems that we're going to face. He never tells us about the situations that we're going to run into. He only wants to show you the good things. How many ever saw, they used to post the picture of one of the cigarettes on the highway, and there was a beautiful woman sitting there. Of course, she was only like half dressed, and they put this picture of this woman and said, oh, this is such a beautiful feeling, but they didn't show you the cancer ward. They didn't show you the result of sin. And if we could only understand that sin has a payday. There's coming a day when all these things that we took for granted are not going to be there for us. And there's going to be bad times coming in this world. But we don't have to worry, because we're part of another world. We're part of something that's greater than this. There's something that's in us that's going to take us out of this world. One day, the Bible said that there's going to be a catching away, and the bride of Christ is going to go on, and we're going to meet him in the air. He said the same spirit that raised Jesus the dead is the same spirit that's going to take us out of this world. We need to be ready for that. We need to be ready. There's a day coming. There's a day coming. There was a day in the life of Jonah. Jonah was said to God, told him, you know, you need to go down to Nineveh. That's a great city, but they're full of sin and idolatry. You need to go and preach to that city that if they don't repent in 40 days, I'm going to destroy that city. And what does Jonah do? He takes a trip to Tarshish instead of Nineveh. And here he is on that ship, and everything goes wrong. The waves are going back and forth, and it looks like everybody's going to go down in this ship. And they start asking, did you do this? Did you do this? Call on your God. Then they find this guy down in the side of this ship asleep. And they said, wake up, sleeper. And then they wake Jonah up and said, what's all this about? Do you know anything? Is there anything that you've done that could have caused this? There was a day when Jonah took personal responsibility. He said, I'm the one. This is all because of me. If you just throw me overboard, everything's going to be well. Oh, they didn't want to throw a man out into the ocean. You know, there's sharks out there. There's all kinds of critters that could, you know, destroy him. But no, they decide, if we're going to live, we're going to have to throw this guy out. If we're going to live, we're going to have to get rid of this man. So they grab Jonah by the hands and the feet. And they're swinging him back and forth. Maybe it'll just stop. And all of a sudden, when Jonah hits the water, and God prepared a great fish, and it swallowed Jonah. We hear the story, and some say, well, it always says a great fish. It doesn't say whale. Well, New Testament calls it whale anyway. So anyway, Jonah gets swallowed, and he's riding along in the bottom of this sea. He's aware of what's happening. He's got seaweed wrapped all around him. There was a day when Jonah's crying out and saying, oh, okay, God, if I can get out of this, if I can get out of this, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll go to Nineveh. And then what happens? The whale or the great fish spits Jonah up on the dry land, and it's a three-day journey, and he makes it in a day and a half. He was in a big hurry to do God's business. But when God began to work and God began to show his love and his mercy, Jonah said, well, this is what I thought he was going to do. I'm just going to sit by this big old gourd that God let grow overnight. But then he let the worm come overnight too to chew off the stem, and the gourd died. And there's a day coming that we need to be ready to meet our Savior. Job went from a day of blessing to a day of adversity. How many remember in our generation what happened on September the 11th, 2001? those twin towers came down, I always wondered with the timing they had and the timing between the two, and they said one jet went into the tower and then they saw this other jet coming. And they probably felt like they're going to lose less people if they let that happen too. But there was a day when our world was attacked. We were in trouble. And what could we do? We can call on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. You know, when that song was written, he that overcometh overcomes in the name of the Lord. I remember that day when the wife of that man of God was either taken or she was went with the enemy because they allowed the enemy to come into the home. There was a day when they suffered great things. And during this great tribulation, Mike Anderson writes this song, "He that overcometh, overcomes in the name of the Lord." He said, are you tired of fighting the battle? Seems like you're on your own. Are you tired of Satan lying to you, saying that you don't belong? Are you tired of sitting around feeling sorry for yourself? Then he gave these words, watch, stand fast. There's power in the name of the Lord. Thank God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and we can still run into that tower today. Thank God. There's so many days. There was a day many years ago. I was in a service in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We had a evangelist there that was just praying people through the Holy Ghost right and left. And a lot of people were receiving the Holy Ghost, and somebody made the statement that we could see the day that we were going to have 100 soul revival in this was a granddaughter of one of the people that was in the church for many years, went up to the altar and began to pray. And soon there was a few more from her family that gathered around. And I remember when Cammie received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and she started speaking in tongues, there was an uncle over on the other side, and he started speaking in tongues. Before it was over, there was a 100 soul revival, and about 60 from that family came to be filled with the Holy Ghost and live for God. Oh, what God can do. There's a day, there's a great day coming, and I want to be ready for that day. I want to be ready for that day when the Lord comes and he calls his people home. And until that day, just keep on doing what you're doing because it's working. Thank God. Keep on doing.
Why don't we all stand?
Let's all stand.
Thank you.
Let's stand and let's pray together. Thank the Lord for the word. Jesus, we're so appreciative of your word. We're appreciative of the voice and the clear call for us to get right with you today, to make our destination heaven and make sure that our calling and election is there. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God, reminding us that struggle is always changed in the hands of the Savior. Lord, thank you for turning it all around for Job. Thank you for giving him double in his troubles. And thank you for making a way where we can look back at his story and remind ourselves that the hard moments are meant to build us, that the struggle is made to strengthen us in you, Jesus. That there's no one that ever succeeded or did anything great in your kingdom without hardship and hard places. So would you help us today, if there's anyone in this room that's been through hard things, God, would you help them to understand that this is the story of their life that you're building, and the success in these hard moments comes from surrender. So would you give us a moment of surrender in this room? Would you lift your hands all over the place? Would you give us a moment of surrender in this room, that if it came to us, it came through your hand, as we heard from the minister today? If it's been something that's been in our life for a long time, I pray that you teach us the lesson that we're learning in that moment. Teach us the lesson quickly, Lord Jesus, that these things can become training ground for what you want to take us to next, God. For everyone that has ever won in your kingdom has always found themselves at a place on their face saying, Lord, I surrender to you. Come on, take somebody by the hand if you have a family member near you, and just surrender everything. Surrender everything. Surrender everything to the Lord. Come on, surrender your worries and your fears. Surrender your future. Surrender in this moment. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment of surrender. Lord, would you give somebody double for their trouble, Jesus? Would you turn it around today and lean them into their lesson so that they can move to what you have brought them to next, God? Whatever this training ground of trouble is in their life, would you let it be a place where they graduate today, God? I believe there's a graduation ceremony happening right now in somebody's heart, that you're going to move to another level in Jesus. And you're going to be thankful for the moments of trial. Thank you, Jesus, for this surrender moment. This altar is open. If you want to pray, you can come and pray. But I just want to be in your house, living my life with you, Lord Jesus, sharing every day with you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you never leave me and you never forsake me. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in this room and these, in our hearts and in our lives, God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord today, reminding us that you're with us through the trouble. Thank you for being the God that's in the fire, the God that's in the moment of loss, the God that's in the moment of gain, the God that's the God of victory. You bring us up, you take us down, you stay with us through it all. Let's lift our hands. Come on, let the word of the Lord minister through this song.
I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you.
Yes, Lord.
I will draw near to you. It's better.
Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Oh, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere.